Afternoon, May.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. The first feature of today's show is Dear May.
Dear May.
Letters to May. You're going to provide some answers to some letters that have been received in the last week.
A few letters. We said we'd answer them if you have some questions, and it's a good way to reach out and find out what's on your mind. one letter I received here was in a question.
This is from Santa Cruz.
From Santa Cruz. I mentioned last week that I was going to leave the country in the fall or summer, and the question is, what country did I have in mind? Somebody called me immediately after the show was over last week, and I think it was over about 1 minute, and the phone rang, and somebody called the house and wanted to know what country to go to. Get a great big map or an atlas and a marking pen and mark out the places you wouldn't be. That's a good place to start. I said, look where Conley's making his trip, for example, his trip now, and just mark those out because he's making deals. And the paper this week said that Richard Nixon is going to Europe. He's going to tour Europe to represent, not Nixon, Reagan is going to represent Nixon in Europe. Represent the NATO countries. Watch where he goes. I'd stay out of those places. I think it's disgusting the way they're building up Reagan and John Conley for international figures. That means that something's going to happen in the shift of power, and they want to make them known around these countries. Reagan can't even manage the state of California. It's just like a police state. And there's so many needs of the people that aren't being met and problems in this state, but he's bigger than California. He's going into a national scene.
There are those, May, who say that Governor Reagan manages the state just fine.
Yeah. Well, I look at the law courts. That's the one way to tell how the states are going, and I look at the political paths. I talk about in terms of assassinations, public defenders, the attorney general, and the legal problems in the state, because a place that's well-run has to have justice. You can run it like Hitler ran Germany, but you have to have justice. And when you don't have justice and you lock up the innocent and the guilty are out on the streets, and this man is responsible for the whole state and the justice system over it, then I don't think he's doing right. And I don't like to see where he travels.
So where would you... you've outlined the places where...
the John Conley oil country.
Where you wouldn't recommend people move if they want to leave the United States, but you haven't said
exactly... Well, Costa Rica is nice.
Costa Rica is
very nice, and Canada. And there are a lot of places where you can get out of the immediate oppression or the police state that's going to take place here, that I think is going to take place here. I wouldn't live... I think Mexico has a slave... economy, and it hasn't had its revolution. There's a lot of problems with living in Mexico or even in the West Indies, but they're nothing compared to what the United States is going to have to take place. This is my own feeling based upon the research that I've done.
But May, if the United States isn't interested in a country, is it worth living there if there's nothing that the United States is interested in?
Well, I'm interested in things the United States isn't interested in. You know,
it's a loaded question, I realize. But.
I'm interested in working for peace, and you're going to have to work for it outside the United States. It's like people in Greece can't work for democracy. If you want a democracy back in Greece, you're going to have to work for it outside of the country. You can't serve this country and work inside, because these people, their master plan is so tight, and they have such control. And what they don't control, most of the people are too apathetic to comprehend what's happening anyway, as in Germany. So Costa Rica is a good place to go, or Canada. There's a lot of places. It's just that I don't happen to think this particular one is for me. Like last week I read the Constitution and the new arrangement for the cabinet. I don't like those things.
Yes, we did read the Constitution, didn't we?
Yeah.
The new Constitution. I'm wondering... Most people were upset about you leaving, and we didn't get too many comments in the mail about the new Constitution, although that really blew my mind.
Well, if the people were upset about the Constitution, I wouldn't have to leave. You see, the priorities are so wrong. Like, I can read the fact last week that Warren Burger, Nixon's appointment for the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, made a special trip to California to see that when the new Constitution goes into effect, there'll be no Bill of Rights, and particularly no trial by jury, because his angle is the legal control of the country. And I venture to say nobody listening to the show last week wrote any congressman to find out why Warren Burger has this position in lieu of the fact that this statement was made. I gave the newspaper the date and people could look it up. They may find the show interesting or informative or frightening. The reaction varies, you know, to have disbelief, to have belief. You know, people are afraid to not listen, but they don't want to follow it through. The reactions, you know, where I go are interesting to the show. But what I'm really trying to say is get a hold of your own lives, your own destinies. And if they don't want to write to particular congressmen and say Warren Burger got through, and if this is his position, what are these decisions on the Supreme Court that he wants no trial by jury? What else can we expect? There's no leaflets out, you know, about watching the Supreme Court decisions from now on. I wish people would get excited about that, more excited about that than my leaving. But we're going on with the show.
Okay, so to Lorena in Santa Cruz, or Lorena, there's your answer. I hope that you can make some sense out of that.
Get a map and mark
it.
Well, they can start with just checking off the countries that John Conley is going to and knowing there'll be an extension of America. And South Korea, Formosa, you know, Brazil, just Venezuela, check them off. There was another letter that came in as a student of the media. What efforts could you make before leaving to get your evidence out in the mainstream? I did that one show in New York City, and they played it again for another 5 hours, and I'm still getting response from that show.
Yeah, quite a few of the letters we get are from New York.
Starting at KLRB, it allowed me the opportunity, you know, to meet people that then we could go on through Paul Krasner, that this continued on New York. People asked me about the newsletter. Am I going to stop it?
Last week's show, you said that you weren't going to follow it up. You were going to drop the idea of a conspiracy newsletter.
Yeah. No, I talked with Paul Krasner, the editor of The Realist, and I'll give you the address. You can subscribe, but the first issue will come out in September, and hopefully I'll be packed up in a way, and it will be printed in this country, 595 Broadway, New York City, 10012. And The Realist will be having articles coming out. You subscribe to that, too. $8 for The Realist and the newsletter. I'd like to see people get both, because I'll be doing articles in both, and they'll be related to each other. And start with The Realist, and the newsletter will come out in the fall. I'll be working on it all along, but having them ready for the fall. But I just want to get out of here, and I don't want to be committed to writing because I have a lot of packing to do. So I will have the newsletter. As far as speaking out in terms of the candidates, a letter asked about Eugene McCarthy. Eugene McCarthy is a smokescreen. I don't touch him. He's CIA.
For what?
Well, he brings out certain candidates. Like, he brought out Bobby Kennedy last time. It was a little cat and mouse game with Lyndon Johnson, and I don't think he intended to run. I think he wanted an excuse for Bobby Kennedy to come out at that time in the primaries last year. Eugene McCarthy is CIA. He's closely associated with men like Melvin Belli. He used his office in the San Francisco region. He's written up in Who's Who in the CIA. I don't trust him. I don't like him. I don't think he's done anything for the youth in the last 10 years for this generation that's made a dent or effected a change. He comes at certain times. He's the political liberal to give the illusion of a two-party system. That's what he is. He represents the CIA. So you get certain men like Fulbright and McCarthy opposing Nixon and the other gang, you know, and they look like they're the great liberals. When it comes time for Fulbright to vote on the Voice of America or the U.S. Information Service, which is all CIA propaganda in Eastern Europe, he votes for the budget, you know, millions of dollars for that. Well, all that radio service does is to press hatred and try to encourage cold wars, and wars are what Fulbright says he doesn't like. So you get a vicious circle. He says, let's not have money, let's not have a budget that allows for wars. And then he says, let's increase the budget that gives propaganda that increases the excuse for warfare. And when people's minds are made up to a warfare state, then you're going to find the budget available because the people want the war.
So you've contacted Eugene McCarthy in the past.
Oh, yes, I've spoken with him.
And I guess you didn't get what you would consider satisfactory answers from him?
No, I got an acknowledgement by the nod of a head and spent about 30 minutes talking to one of his aides to the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald was an agent for the United States government. He was here in Monterey, and I spoke with him about Oswald being an agent of the United States government. That's fine for Eugene McCarthy. He's an agent, too, and he isn't going to do anything about opening that up. So after that murder, then we had the murder of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy and the assassination attempt on Wallace, and Eugene McCarthy just walks around. Now he wants to run as a candidate, say, on the Peace and Freedom. He suggested, you know, the one that Dr. Spock is in, he thinks maybe he should be a fourth party candidate. That's just to pull votes away from somebody who could elect Richard Nixon, you know, split maybe a McGovern vote between him and McGovern, and then split it away. I don't trust McCarthy, and it's just a lot of hard work to read many books about people like this, but hopefully if you listen to these shows and take tapes and take notes, I'll try to tell you my reason for not trusting these people and answer your questions.
Okay, Mike in Monterey also asked about some titles of books and authors that you might be able to suggest.
Yes, summer vacation is coming on, and some of you will be traveling east. Several people who listen to the shows have already gone on to Yellowstone and back east traveling around. If you have a pencil and write this down, a few books come to my mind for summer vacation reading. The first is William Shire's book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, because the same team that put in Hitler catapulted Richard Nixon into power and constructed our entire CIA and Defense Intelligence Agency.
Now, is there a book specifically on that? I think
William Shire's book, The Rise and Fall?
I'm talking about the relationship of ex-Nazis in the United States government.
Well, there is one called, another one is by Clarence Lasby called Project Paperclip. I just bought out the last two copies at the Thunderbird yesterday to give as Father's Day presents. It's a lovely gift to give. But I feel that that people that I know and respect, like my own father or my ex-husband, the father of my children, should have these books as textbooks, and they should read them as well as other students around. You know, I think that everyone should get a hold of Clarence Lasby's book, Project Paperclip, because that's on the importation of Nazis into the United States and the fears that people had after World War II about them starting World War III, and the secrecy with which they were brought in this country, and the damage that they have done. And now we're on the brink of World War III, and these men are mentioned in this book. There's a fantastic amount of similarity in Project Paperclip that has to do with the political assassinations, not similarity, but the names cross over. And if people would read that book, I've mentioned these names on the radio, like there was Walter Dornberger, the Nazi general, the rocket factory was von Braun, who ran these rocket factories in Germany and used slave labor, and bones were piled up, and he was a war criminal. And Dornberger was held in England as a war criminal, and they thought he should be at the dock in Nuremberg and hung. They just referred to him as pure garbage, as a terrible human being who could threaten the entire world again. Well, we wanted to get to the moon before the Russians, and we wanted atomic bombs to defeat the war in Asia. So we brought these space scientists over them, and one over here, one was the hero of our space age, von Braun, Werner von Braun. And von Braun insisted that Dornberger come with him, that the two ran their rocket factory in Germany. And he got England to, American pressure, got England to release Dornberger. And Dornberger was sent to Bell Aerospace in Dallas, Fort Worth area. And the home where Lee Oswald lived and Marina Oswald lived, and the home base for Oswald in Fort Worth, Texas area in Dallas, was at Michael Payne's home, Michael and Ruth Payne. And Michael Payne is third generation Harvard physicist who designs helicopters at Bell Aerospace for Dornberger. And as soon as the assassination took place in Dallas, employees of Dornberger's and from Army intelligence in the area called the FBI and police and said, "Oh, Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who's been to Russia, works at the depository," and they began to plant evidence against Lee. They knew full well who he was. Nornberger, the Nazi that so many people worried about coming to this country, is a high executive at Bell Aerospace, one of the top officials there, designing helicopters for Vietnam. There was an article about those choppers in the paper this week, incidentally, that wasn't very funny. It was taken from a new interview in Playboy. This Colonel Hebert, you know, who resigned from the Army.
Right.
I don't know if you saw the article about men behind the lines that were wounded couldn't get helicopters to take them back to the hospital. But the officers had what they called pizza choppers that delivered pizzas to the men behind the lines if they wanted pizza choppers. But when he called, the men were wounded, he couldn't get them. So in finally desperation, once he called for a helicopter to help the men, it wouldn't come. So he ordered pizzas, and the pizza chopper came. And he put the wounded men on the pizza chopper and took them back to the hospital. And the men back at the base were furious because he didn't pay for the pizza. But this is the helicopters. The pizza choppers are designed by Michael Payne, you know, at Bell Aerospace, who's employed by Walter Dornberger, the Nazi criminal. Another name in this book, this Project Paperclip, that Mike wanted to know books to read, Louis Neiser, the attorney, famous New York attorney, who wrote the introduction for the Warren Report, gave about 30 adjectives in his introduction of the Warren Report about Lee Harvey Oswald, and each one of those adjectives was a falsehood and a lie made up by Nazi agents of Reinhard Gehlen and Alan Dulles, who had moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And in 1944, Louis Neiser was on a committee called the Prevention of World War III that in New York City was asking not to have Nazis imported into this country, that they would start World War III. And the same Louis Neiser that feared the Nazis in 1944 was writing an introduction for the Warren Report in 1964, and he was quoting the identical Nazis that had been imported from Germany and placed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm writing an article about that now, and they came from a group called the Solidaris and the Tolstoy Foundation and the Conduit of the Greek Orthodox Church, which is the cover for importation of the Nazis all over the world. The Sirhan family came in through the Conduit of the Greek Orthodox Church from Palestine to Pasadena in 1948. The same Nazi Gehlen operation that imported agents took place in political assassinations in 1960s in this country against John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy were the people that Louis Neiser, he was quoting them, and they were the people that made up the adjectives. That's a strange fate of history. But it shows how well-meaning people can be used and duped to use misinformation, pass it on to fact, and bungle up the history of our times. Which goes on to one more letter.
Okay,
which,
before we do that, yeah. Okay, you've mentioned a couple of books. Why don't we do this? On practically every show, you've mentioned books that you would recommend for reading.
Yeah.
Why don't we get you to type up a list? The station will run off copies of a suggested book list. And if people will send us a self-addressed stamped envelope to the station, we will send you a list of suggested reading material.
Okay, one other thing. These two books, if they read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich and Project Paperclip, and also they could get Harold Weisberg's book called Frame Up on James Ray, that's three books to read, or Jim Garrison's Heritage of Stone. Then in the conspiracy newsletter, if everyone will subscribe, if they're sincere and wanting to follow up on this information, they could spend $8 and get The Realist and the conspiracy newsletter. And I'm going to have two sections in every issue of the newsletter. One is called Book Review, which will discuss new books coming out on the political assassinations that are timely. So there'll be two reviews every month, and maybe I'll condense them to get four books in if they're pouring out. But I'm also going to have a section called Bibliography, because I have a library of 300 books that pertain to political assassinations. And if people subscribe to that newsletter, they would have a complete list it's not a complete list, but it certainly is a good start. They're not going to read the 300 books, but they'll get a long-range view of how to study political assassinations, because they include 109 books on the John Kennedy murder, books about Chappaquiddick, the Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and books about the State Department, like the Warfare State, the Espionage Establishment. So if you subscribe to the conspiracy newsletter, I don't want to push the subscriptions, but if you want information, this is what you're going to have to do. It's, again, 595 Broadway, New York City, 10012. And these four books, if they get Heritage of Stone by Jim Garrison, and Project Paperclip, Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and Frame Up by Harold Weisberg, that's good summer reading. So you'll get a picture of the Dallas total world thing through Garrison. You'll get historic thing through the Nazi, because it is current. It's the same people. And Project Paperclip is now the rocket scientists and the weapons. You know, if you don't like the summer weapons, the new laser beams they used this week, you know, we talked about the petitions, the air war petitions. As soon as you get one form out, there's another weapon. There's a new one. The drones are coming out next week, you know, that you don't need men to... did you see the article about that?
Yeah, therefore no POWs then.
That's right.
When the drone is shot down, all they get is the plane, but they don't get a prisoner.
So in the last week, we have your radar thing working, and you have your drones, and the paper this week said U.S. jets maul a red sector, that the radar, they're pounding away the raids, and the bridges are crumbling, and the radar is really working, because I brought an article, because it can get those bridges, those heavy bridges, and not the pontoon.
Okay, well, we haven't talked about doing that book list thing, but I'm sure we can do it if we haven't talked about
it
before.
It duplicates a lot of work, because I will have a bibliography running, and most people, if they want more, if they read these four books or have read those, they can contact me or send you a postcard if they want to go beyond that.
Okay, we'll do it that way then.
Yeah.
One other letter there?
Well, Mike asked about how can we spread the news of the radio on, so I just want to read about two paragraphs from a letter that I received. A friend living in San Francisco went back east in February and came home about a week ago. And he said, while we were in New York, I'm reading this letter, several people from different colleges in New York and even one in Vermont told me they heard a lady from California on the radio one night who actually made them stop and think and question things that have been shoved at them as truth. And each person who told me about the lady on the radio one night, it was from California, was impressed by her version of what has really been going on in America. And they were mainly white young people who I have often worried might never doubt the sources they've been programmed to believe, let alone about something as necessary to doubt as their previous sources. This young person who is black has often worried that people who want to help him and his people are putting their interest into the wrong area, that they want to give a hand and they're working with the civil rights and so forth, but they're not willing to look at themselves and to look at their country and analyze where the real problems came from. He said, I think that these whites I have known were afraid when they opened their eyes they would find that they themselves, by their blindness and silence, have stood behind those who are not only threatening my existence, but America's and this planet's existence, as well as the existence of all who might come after us, which would be some guilt to bear. And he felt that, he said, this lady from California dug in her heels and began to try and make sense of it all. And she succeeded from her home, that research center way out in California, and made people understand all the way in the New York. And this is the important thing I want to share with my listeners. He said what most white people are totally unafraid of, totally unaware of, is that they can take part in the struggle for liberation from falsehood and its inevitable counterpart, murder, that is being waged all over the world. If only they would understand how it happened, rather than to choose and close their eyes to the rape of mankind which is taking place in their name. And that is the important thing about this program, which I appreciate, Phil, you know, being on the air here, is that we can give information or book titles or documents or newspaper articles. It isn't a scare program to try and say all these bad things are happening and you better run out of the country. It's an educational process, I hope, and that the only way to be liberated, because the white person is going to have to be liberated from falsehood too. We talk about liberating black people. The white person is as much entangled in this mesh that's going on as the black, and they have to be liberated from falsehoods, and that's hopefully what this show is about. And he said he realized, as I launched my truth into the New York night, that this truth, he said, I believe if given half the chance, mate, you will force Americans to understand by showing them where they've been duped and by whom, and I'd be willing to bet on that. He said, as he spoke to people across all the way into New York and Vermont. He says, as you launch your truth into the New York night. I won't read more. I think that it's a lovely letter. And he ended to say, joy to you in your attempt to subvert their master plan and love for what you're trying to save our freedom. That's what dialogue assassination is about, is trying to get facts and information out to people and let them get a hold of their own lives, of their own destinies, being controlled themselves.
Let's, before we go any further, let's take a break and identify...